Morning. We are glad you're here today. Thank you for being here. It's a beautiful day. We're thankful for the opportunity to come together to worship God in spirit and truth. And thank you for your presence today. If you're visiting, we hope and pray that today is a good day for you and that you feel welcome here. We'd love to have you come back and be with us at any opportunity that you have. I do want to wish each and every one a happy Mother's Day. We're so thankful for you, and we appreciate all the good that you have done, all the good that you continue to do, and we pray that God will continue to richly bless you with the influence that you have exerted down through the years. We're very thankful, and I would say this, that if you have a mom who's alive and well today, you ought to tell her how much you appreciate her and love her. You're blessed immensely. I want to call your attention to Proverbs 31 in our study today. I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 31, and we're going to talk for a moment or two about the theme, Moms Are Golden, and we're going to talk about just how special they are to us, and not only us, but how special they have been to the human family down through the years. God knew what He was doing when He created the woman. She is the perfect complement to the man. And the woman is in many respects the glue that holds everything together within the home. So what I want us to do today as we think about the theme, Moms Are Golden. First and foremost, let's just talk for a moment or two about how she is a guardian, or we might say a guide in the home. I said a minute ago that Mom is really the glue that holds everything together. She's that binding that keeps us where we need to be within the home. Paul talks about in the New Testament how the wife, the mother, is to guide the home. And so that being said, let's just talk for a moment or two about some of the attributes of her guardianship. Note if you would, beginning in verse 10, and first and foremost, I would say, when we talk about the guardianship, the guide that mom provides in the home, to understand that she is to be treasured. Listen to what is said beginning in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman or a virtuous wife? And then here's the response. Her worth is far above rubies. Her worth is far above the treasures of this life. If you've been blessed with a good mom, you have a treasure. You might not know that, but you do. And you think about all the things that she has done to make your life special. Those of us that are married, if we have a faithful mate, to know that we have been blessed, and as the writer here says, we have somebody who will stand by us, whose worth, whose price is far above rubies. So number one, she's to be treasured. Number two, she is trustworthy. Note if you would in verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. There's something to be said about a mate or a parent who is trustworthy, reliable, who can be counted upon, to know that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in life, we have someone that we can turn to and we know without a shadow of a doubt we can rely upon them. And so the writer here is talking about not just the fact that she is treasured, but that she is trustworthy. We live in a day and time when there are a lot of folks, quite frankly, who are not as trustworthy or reliable as they ought to be. But the picture here is someone that you can lean upon even when times are tough in life. And then, note if you would, her thoughtfulness. In verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, there are a lot of husbands that can say they have a mate who stands by them and is always trying to demonstrate what we might say kindness, that they're always in our corner. They're thoughtful in all that they say and all that they do. The writer goes on to say in this context, she watches over the ways of her household. Here's somebody who's thoughtful about the needs and wants and concerns and cares that take place within that family unit. Moms just have that ability to know what to do and when to do it. And there are times in life when, as young children, face problems and circumstances that maybe are somewhat uncertain, but they know that they can go to Mom, that she's going to be trustworthy, reliable, and that she's watching over them, concerned about their well-being. Now, there's a second thing that I want to share with you. Number one, she is the guardian, the guide in the home. But then secondly, the writer here speaks of her as what I would call a go-getter. Now listen to what he says. He goes on to say, drop down if you would, and note the continuation. In verse 15, he said, she rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household, a portion for her maidservants. And then note what he says down in verse 18. Her lamp does not go out by night. And again, he would go on to say in verse 27, she does not eat the bread of idleness. What do you think he's saying here? I think what he's saying in, I guess maybe to just get down to the short of it, here's a woman who is always, always industrious. She's going, as we might say, from can to can, from sunup to sundown, never resting. And how many moms have you known like that down through the years? I can't help but think about, as a young person, and I think probably you would agree, that your mom would often rise early in the morning to make sure that you had something to eat before you went to school, or maybe to work. And then, late in the evening hours, what's she doing? She's continuing about her task in the home. The cooking, the cleaning, just all of the duties that go into being a mother, a wife. And oftentimes, maybe sadly, they fail to get the credit and appreciation that they're due. And so what the writer here is saying about this golden mom, this golden lady, this golden wife. Number one, she's rising early in the morning before the light of day. And then she's up late into the evening hours. Sometimes you wonder, do they ever sleep? Any rest? Nancy and I were talking just this week about what it would be like to try to take care of a small child at our age. As I grow older in life, one of the things that I understand is, look, children are for young folks. Now, if we had to care for a child, we would do it without question. We'd do our best. But I'm grateful that I don't have to get up in the middle of the night and give a bottle to a young baby or change a diaper or do a lot of other things. And there are moms that do that every single day and never say a word. Why is that? Devotion, love, and care. So here's a lady that is a go-getter. She's a busy woman, but not just a busy woman, but the Bible says she is a businesswoman. Here's somebody that has a dual function in life. That is, she's working within the home, and then she's working outside the home. There are a lot of moms that do that today. When I was a young fella, my dad was a school teacher. They didn't make a lot of money. My mom had to work. It wasn't a matter of choice. It was just, if we want to have food on the table, she's got to work. And she did that. So, that being said, listen to what the writer says down in verse 14. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar, Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Note, if you would, verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies sashes for the merchants. So here's somebody that not only has domestic duties within the home, but because of her concern for her family members, she's out working, laboring, contributing so that they might have the financial resources that they need. So she's a busy woman, she is a businesswoman, and she is a benevolent woman. Says something about her heart. Drop down, look if you would. Verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. So here's a lady that is compassionate about her fellow man. Somebody that understands not everyone is well off as everyone. And so because of that, she's going to do what she can to meet the basic intrinsic needs of her fellow man. So she's benevolent. Now think about Christians today. There are a lot of Christian moms. There are a lot of Christian wives that do what they can for other people. I remember when I was a teenager. We had a family that lived next door to us, and they later moved to another neighborhood. Tragically, they had a house fire that was a really devastating fire. The mother was seriously burned. And I remember one lady in particular, a member of the church, went out and bought clothes for the children so that they would have something to wear. And so she was benevolent. That's the picture here. But then there's a final thought I want to share with you. And that is, she is golden. Well, what do I mean by that? The title of our lesson today, Moms Are Golden. Here's why moms are pictured here. Here's why wives are pictured in this context as being golden. Drop down with me if you would. And look at verse 29. Number one, she is praised by her family. We began by asking the question, the writer asked the question, who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find a virtuous woman? And the response is, her price is far above rubies. So here is this woman of great worth. She brings a lot of wealth to the family. She's a treasure. All right? What the writer is going to say is her family understands what they have. You know, sometimes there are people in the world today, they go unnoticed, unappreciated. Some people are underappreciated. Let me tell you what, the writer here understands just how golden this woman is. She's a golden mom, and she is a golden wife. And so note what he says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So you got children. They are grateful to have a good mama. And then you've got a husband that realizes the treasure he has in his helpmeet. I mentioned a moment ago that God knew exactly what he was doing when he created the woman for the man. Back in Genesis chapter 2, you remember when God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet. That is, I'm going to make the suitable answer for man. Man has a void. There's a need. The animal kingdom's not going to fill that need. The plant world won't do it, but a woman. And God made that woman from the side of man, from the rib. And Moses said that she was brought to Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That union, that unity that exists between the man and the woman. And so to understand that we have the perfect complement to our needs in this life, emotionally, physically, sexually, all of those needs are met within the context of the marital relationship. So number one, she is praised by our family. Number two, she is praised for her faith. Note what the writer says. He said, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, you know, beauty, in many respects, outward beauty is temporary, isn't it? If you don't understand that and you're young, I promise you, when you get a little bit older in life, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Life is a series of changes. And so we grow older in life. That outward person might be beautiful to look at. But over time, what happens? We don't necessarily maintain the looks that we had in our youth. But here's what shines above the outward person. It's that person of faith. It is to understand that there is something about a godly woman that is so very important. Now, we have often said the old cliche, as the home goes, so goes the nation. The reason our nation is in trouble is because the home is in trouble. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach unto any people. In many ways, that begins with a godly mother. What's the old saying? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You think about a mama that has the ability to begin molding and mentoring and shaping the life of a young person. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he called to mind the genuine faith that existed in the life of Timothy. But he said Timothy's faith was preceded by the faith of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he went on to say, and I am persuaded is in you also. So over in chapter 3, verse 15, you remember Paul said of Timothy, and that from infancy, childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation. These were women of faith. The woman pictured in Proverbs 31, a woman of faith. And then there's a third very important point. Number one, she is praised by her family. Number two, she is praised because of her faith. Number three, she is praised because of her fruitfulness. Now, I mentioned a moment ago where the writer said that she does not eat the bread of idleness. So, that being said, note if you would down in verse 31. The writer said, give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Here is somebody that because of their life's work, they're known among people. Because as Jesus said in the long ago, by their works you shall know them. Here is somebody who has left behind a legacy, not just in deed, but also in word. Matter of fact, if you back up and look just very quickly, in verse 26, note if you would, her graciousness. And sometimes we talk about our words and how we can use words to encourage and build up people. This woman is cautious with her words. And then I would say, secondly, she demonstrates compassion. He said, she opens her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. She's courteous. All of these things are well known to those around her. This lady is pictured as a golden lady. I want to close today by saying to all of you who are moms, thank you. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your rich faith. Thank you for being the glue that holds the family unit together in many ways. Thank you for being the perfect complement in the home, just as God designed. That might be that you're here today and you're not a Christian. If you want to make sure that your home gets off on the right foot, best way to do that, to begin a life in Christ Jesus. You know, the psalmist said many years ago, except the Lord build the house, those who labor, labor in vain. You remember he went on to say that the fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Children are a tremendous blessing. They are a heritage, as the Lord said. But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to come to Christ, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and then to respond with an obedient faith. Do what they did on Pentecost Day when the instructions given, repent, be baptized. In so doing, you will enjoy the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible assures us that God will then put you in the church, Acts 2, verse 47. And the beauty of being in that institution is that you're numbered among the saved, Ephesians 5, 23. If you're here this afternoon or this morning, and maybe your life is not what you want it to be, and you just want the prayers of the church, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you as we stand and sing.